Attention maggots, this is Sergeant Slaughter from WWE and G.I. Joe, the real American hero. You're listening to Mega Power Radio. Don't touch that dial. And that's an order.
Shaking Mega Maniacs, it's August 31st. We just finished watching tonight's edition of Monday Night Raw, and we're gathering for the Monday Night tradition here on MegaPowersRadio.com, the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio, where we invite you, the listener, to get involved all throughout the night in a number of ways, which I'll tell you about in just a moment. But first, let me tell all y'all about how you could support the show. If you are enjoying this, please find us on Patreon at patreon.com/megapowersradio, where for as little as $1, you can help us keep the ball rolling here so we can keep bringing you all the cool content from megapowersradio.com. If you can't afford any extra coin to throw into our little piggy bank, though, we understand times are tough, but you can still support us by joining us live here every Monday after Raw, or also on all the various ways that we are available for you to subscribe on archive form. We're on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, YouTube, pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. You can find links to all these very easily by our home on smarkoutmoment.com. And while you're on all those places, please give us a rating, a review, because believe it or not, those things do help us climb the charts in a number of ways so new people can find us and we can keep growing and getting more voices involved here on the show. So as I said, we're inviting you guys out there to join in a number of ways. The number one way, of course, is by dialing in with your phone, and you could do that by picking it up and putting into the number pad 760-512-7247. Put you in queue. We already got a couple people waiting patiently, but we will find time for every single person as we can. So if you want to get your voice heard, hurry up and dial your phones and get yourself in that queue. Also got the chat room opened up. Shout outs to the folks who got here nice and early. Mark Swabby, Kalen Ferris, Wazili, and welcoming back Silent Wind of Doom, who is apparently in Mexico. I want to sing some the coasters. Also, we have Twitter at Raw Post Show, the Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs. Search for that on there. You can put comments, questions, anything you have relating to Raw or anything else going on in wrestling, because outside of Raw, there was a heavy amount of wrestling news going on today. There's so much out there, I'm sure people got to say. So find us throughout those various means and get your voice heard on the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw Post Show. In the meantime, we are going to get ourselves started here with the panelists, introducing who we all are. My voice that you've heard so far is the voice of Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio. And with me tonight are the two main men I got here usually. First off, the main man of SmarkOutMoment.com and the Smack Talk podcast, Mr. Tony Mango.
Yeah, how's it going, everybody?
They all said they're pretty miserable and they grew a beard.
Oh, goddamn it, guys.
Also with us is the main man of nothing. When was the last time you did anything? Mr. Steven Wago.
Well, I got up this morning. I made some breakfast. That was pretty rad.
Oh, the main man of breakfast.
Yeah, there we go.
That's not a bad title to have.
And I can't blame for all these people being miserable. To be quite honest, Raw didn't give them anything to smile about tonight.
It was kind of a lame duck show. I wouldn't say it was bad, but it just kind of passed by. We got some new faces that debuted last week, making their either debuts in the ring or returns, whatever it may have been. So that was fresh to see. But besides that, I can't say I'm like super giddy, at least not as I felt after last week's show. But let me ask you guys how you're feeling and what the number one thing you took away from tonight's show was. Tony, you're giggling up over there. So what do you guys say?
I'm giggling because you said super giddy. Like, I can imagine you watching it and going, like, just be like, with the little, the hand over the mouth, like schoolgirl kind of giddy laughter thing. I'm like, yeah, didn't get that out of this episode either. Man, I don't know what my big takeaway is for this. I fell asleep at one point. That wasn't really a good sign. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't great. It was like just blah. Like, I don't know. I woke up this morning and I thought that it was going to be a weird day. And it seems like everything weird happened before Raw. And by the time we got to Raw, it was like everybody was tired.
Was quite a long day. Wago, how you feeling? What would you think about tonight's show? What's one thing you took away?
Well, the overall show wasn't bad. It had its good moments, but the rest of the show was just very underwhelming. I think what stood out the most, I guess, was the fact that they made the two title matches for Seth Rollins, which a lot of people saw coming, but some predictability is good. But I think they've booked themselves into a corner. On the one hand, if Seth beats both John Cena and Sting in the same night, he comes out looking hella strong. On the other hand, if Seth Rollins, say, loses to John Cena and then beats Sting, sure as hell makes Sting look terrible.
Well, now here's the thing that I think is also going to have an effect on this. Which match is the main event?
Sting. I'd imagine it'd be against Sting. One, because he's a bit of a novelty, and two, it's their main title.
Well, that it has to be.
That never stopped John Cena from main eventing over it before CM Punk.
Also, Sting's not a guy you want to put there out for a long time. They've got the excuse of having the match end early if Seth Rollins has already wrestled once.
This is true.
Plus, they could always tease the idea that he could lose both belts at the same night if he loses to John Cena first. Well, like, the likelihood that he's going to lose either of those titles, it's definitely leaning more towards John Cena. So if he loses it to Cena, and then it's like, ah, fuck, well, I still have the world title, and they're like, maybe not, then he'll be like, ah, shit, I really got to win it this time, and, you know.
Well, let me set this up a little bit more. We basically got our three big title matches announced that we're going to have at Night of Champions, which, of course, is the pay-per-view where every title is going to be defended. Our opening segment had Sting coming out, and they replayed what was actually announced pretty much as soon as Raw went off the air, but if you don't pay attention to anything outside of Raw, you wouldn't have known. Sting was made official as the number one contender for Seth Rollins' WWE title. And at the last segment of tonight, we had Seth out in the ring demanding for his statue, because we haven't given up on that yet, thank goodness, because I know a lot of us are worried. What happened to the statue? It's at large, and Sting, this horrible criminal, has stolen the statue and done who knows with it. I mean, probably stuck it in the rafters and has a bunch of, like, crows living on it and pooping all over it. Bastard. He demands it to come at him to come out, but instead we get John Cena, who comes out and says that he is going to be invoking his rematch clause for the U.S. title at Night of Champions as well, meaning Seth Rollins will be defending both the WWE and the U.S. title in separate matches, two matches in one night. Nothing I would think Seth Rollins is not capable of doing, as he's probably one of the most conditioned fellows that you have in the company with his CrossFit background and all. But you have to think John Cena alone is one of the toughest guys to beat, and then you have someone like Sting coming in who, granted, his WWE record is not very good, but you got to think he's going to be getting something back for that, too. And it's not outside of the realm of possibility for them to put a title on a part-timer, as we've seen in the last few years with both The Rock and Brock Lesnar getting it. You aren't wrong, Wago. They really have booked themselves into a really weird spot here. When you put both titles on Seth Rollins, it almost seems like you don't want to take him away from him right away, too. This is tough.
Well, there is a scenario where Seth Rollins walks out with the WWE title and Sting doesn't look bad. Fuck finish.
Well, are we going to have a fuck finish for our title match 2 months in a row?
Do you not expect that? It's WWE. Of course it's a possibility.
Well, the thing is WWE, not WCW. That's why I kind of have better hopes.
Yeah, but you know what's really kind of broadcasting what's going to happen here, at least to an extent? You have Sting come out, and out of all the things for him to say, he reiterates the point, you're not half the man Triple H is. I know I've been saying this for a while, that it seems like they're building up to a Triple H and Seth Rollins match, but more than ever, it seems like they're doing that. So Triple H has to be involved in some fashion.
Yeah, no kidding. That promo was fucking overkill tonight. Sting's traditionally a good promo guy, typically a good promo guy, but yeesh.
And don't forget, there was also this almost sort of palling around moment between John Cena and Stephanie McMahon. Where John Cena called out saying, Seth Rollins, you're going to realize how expendable you are right now, because if the Authority really was your buddies, then they wouldn't allow this to happen, which was allowing him to get that rematch the same night as Seth Rollins already having the other match. So they're not having the same type of tensions they were building before of Seth Rollins and the Authority, which was, you know, him mistreating J&J Security and Kane, who we haven't seen come back yet. Almost, probably haven't even thought about it. That's probably the first anybody's had that hit them.
Unless you're, really, I forgot about J&J, but I've been thinking about Kane. Like,
I don't know. There is two title matches he could interfere in.
There absolutely is. Or hell, J&J can interfere in one and Kane in the other.
We just have J&J replace the primetime players in this feud.
Can we just have J&J replace the primetime players, period?
I'm down for that.
Like,
at least
have
them go on commentary every week. Yeah, at least on commentary, because Jesus Christ, Darren Young's terrible.
Joey Mercury would be better on commentary when he was doing his mute gimmick.
That'd be fantastic. Can he also move over to SmackDown?
If only. Oh my goodness, crazy shakeups happening on the announced team. Stay tuned to this week's edition of Smack Talk during the Hot Tags, where we're going to talk about all the wild things that went down on that. Our other big story that we had tonight is that we had our first ever Beat the Clock challenge for the Divas, which I'm not 100% sure that's true. I feel like they've done something with them before with this, but I'm not going to tell you for sure. Someone else has got that encyclopedia, Pro Wrestling History Society, or whatever they're called. They'll tell you. They had Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Paige all competing for the Beat the Clock Challenge. I guess that's the spoils that Stephanie McMahon promised them for winning that match at SummerSlam. This is what this is all for, guys, so they can participate in the Beat the Clock Challenge. And the longest match in this Beat the Clock Challenge, 3 minutes, 21 seconds.
Oh, the Divas need to have all the time in the world to go out there and blah, 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 blah.
I fucking had huge problems with this. And it specifically relates to Paige versus Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks can go for a good 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's been well documented. She's had arguably the best women's matches in the company's history.
And Paige is capable of too. You know, people have been you know, turning more on her bad side lately, but she's no slouch. You know, it's not like she was in the ring there with freaking Rosa Mendez or something.
There is no reason why I should be able to buy into that match ending that quick. Because that's what they essentially told in the ring tonight, that Paige almost beat Sasha like a regular old jobber, but she was pulled out of the ring.
She had her dead to rights. If it weren't for Team Bad being there and pulling her aside, she would have been done.
Ridiculous.
As much as I'm actually in favor of Charlotte being the first champion out of that group that's come up, Sasha Banks is easily the most talented, and that was a fucking travesty in booking. Absolutely terrible.
And you know how they could have made it better? And they could have done this pretty much the exact same way, but at least it would have been more impactful, was if it, instead of being Team Bad that pulled Sasha out, it was Charlotte.
That's all. I still think it would have been annoying that they did that to Sasha, because Sasha should have been the 3.5 minute match. And even that, it's ridiculous, but...
Mm-hmm. This match should have not even got like to... They should have just started wrestling a match and just have had an incomplete match. They should have just gone out there like they was going to have a 15-minute one and it gets cut short because the time goes out. Sasha needed to look competitive.
Or you could have put her in there with Naomi.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's other options just to job out. If you want to job out like the old WWE Divas, I'm fine. They've already been proven to be nobodies now. That's the story they've told. There was no reason for Sasha to look that bad. And this, a Divas Revolution doesn't happen by just splitting the Divas 10-minute match up into 3 separate ones.
Kaylin Ferris in the chat room saying, what a difference between Sasha at TakeOver and Sasha tonight. You wouldn't even believe it's the same person.
Mm-hmm. Really kind of like ridiculous. Like, I don't know what their mentality is when it comes to that.
Even the Brie Bella Charlotte match, when it ended so quickly, just felt kind of weird. Am I wrong?
I don't understand why they did this either.
Like
the divas in every match tonight were misrepresented. Period.
It really was, and you're going to do this three match, and you're going to talk about how this is the first time ever we're doing this beat the clock challenge. Well, make it feel important. Every single match just felt rushed, and it's like, oh, hurry up, ladies. We got to get the men out there.
I'm pretty sure we had three divas matches, and we spent more time asking Lana what she thought about the whole bullshit with Dolph Ziggler.
Ugh. How long away is Night of Champions?
3 weeks.
3 weeks sounds right.
Why couldn't have you done one beat a clock challenge each week and gave it 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Shit. Makes sense.
It's meant to be for a title. You want to set a revolution? You want to set a new standard? Go out there and fucking set the standard. Tonight was shit.
Well, in the end, what we got is Charlotte winning the beat the clock challenge. She will be facing Nikki Bella for the Divas title. However, if I'm not wrong, does the clock run out before Night of Champions then? Because I think it was about 2 weeks on the clock.
Then they started it last week.
It's like the couple days before Night of Champions.
Huh. So unless they like expedite this match to happen to Raw before or something like that, then she's definitely going to break that record.
She should. I mean, it would be kind of pointless for them to not have her break the record. Yeah, I know it's one of those things that people can be like, ah, that's funny, the heel didn't make it, that kind of thing. But do you really want to just keep it on AJ when you got this long? Because if you change your mind, you're going to have to do another fucking year of somebody else. And that's a lot to do. Like, Nikki Bella, she's not the best wrestler that they've ever had in the women's division or anything like that. But she's clearly like one of these priority faces of the company and stuff. Just fucking give it to her. Charlotte can win it at Night of Champions. You can move on. Nikki Bella's got that accolade that she can talk about until the next person comes along that wants to do that. And, you know, just be done with it.
You had something to say, Wayo?
It went out of my head. I forgot it was. Never mind.
All right, well, I'm not even so much offended by the idea of her breaking the record. It's just that she hasn't defended the title at all in, I feel like, at least 2 months. Whatever happened to the 30-day rule?
I tell you, if they want to really capitalize on this and get the most out of it, I think not only does she retain the title and all that kind of stuff, but they should have her put the title online before Night of Champions. Mm-hmm. And they should have her put the title on the line against Sasha Banks. Ooh. To make up for this. Do something where it's like Sasha seems like she's going to come out of nowhere and fucking win the title, and then somebody like a Charlotte interrupts and it's a DQ or whatever. And then it's like, oh, okay, well, that was a way to get around that kind of a thing. And then you really want to make it more interesting? Then you add Sasha Banks in, and it's a triple threat at Night of Champions.
There's also a story you can tell here. The Divas Revolution, it's meant to be these new women coming in and just taking over. It'd be great if, for, say, Charlotte, or is it Charlotte who won in the fastest time?
Yeah.
Yeah. For her to topple the diva that's held it longer than anyone else. And shit, I'd do the same with Charlotte and have her beat the record. Just fucking erase that terrible, terrible fucking divas and Bellas that we've had for the last years.
Well, that's not what we got at all. This was just a complete rushed mess. Hopefully, when it comes push to shove and we have this match with Charlotte and Nikki, these girls will go out there and impress, because it's not dead yet. They haven't completely killed hope for this story, but they're heading into dangerous, dangerous waters now.
Look, even if they don't impress, I'm sure they're going to try to beat us over the head with over our heads with the idea that they did. How annoying is it listening to like that little insert promo that they did with Paige, and she's like, you know, basically like, fuck everybody. Just a complete bitch. I can't stand that kind of shit. Well, we're athletes and we're whatever. This type of attitude, like, you can be supportive of the women's division and all that and not be a pain in the ass.
Well, there's something to be said that they're not getting fair treatment.
Not at all when it comes to like this the beat the clock thing and stuff. Mm-hmm. But yet they'll still have them go out there and cut promos about like that's proving everybody wrong. And it's like, well,
yeah, I see what you're
first
saying.
Off, if it's the company saying that that's proving things wrong, no, it isn't. If it's the women proving saying that that's proven it wrong, no, it isn't. If it's both, you're all idiots. And if you're not believing in it, then you're liars. So it's like, no matter what, it's not getting accomplished here. Like, that beat the clock thing is not going to be changing anybody's opinions about the Divas division whatsoever. You might as well have had the beat the clock challenge with, like, Rosa Mendez and stuff.
People actually get upset, though, that that fans aren't supporting what's going on right now. No, we shouldn't.
Is Rosa Mendez going to partake in the beat the clock challenge for when she's going to pop her baby out?
Hey, that'd be like the first thing she might be able to actually accomplish.
I finally won this pregnancy.
I hope she doesn't lose it now. It would be
I was about to say, there's some terrible jokes in that I'm just not going
to
make.
Okay, well, in that case, we're going to start heading over to the phone lines then. So if you want to dial in, get your voice heard, talking about everything we've run down here so far or anything else that went down on tonight's show of Monday Night Raw, hit your phone up with 760-512-7247 and get yourself in queue to talk on the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw Post Show, here at Mega Powers Radio. And we're going to take on our first caller from the 646. It's our friend Aisha. What's shaking, Aisha?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
We're all always happy to be here. Sure. A little mellow about this week's Raw, but always happy to be here. How you doing?
Yeah. Oh, I'm doing good. And this Raw, for me, just really dragged on. I'm not going to... I fell asleep a lot during this Raw.
You and Tony are in the same boat.
I know. I fell asleep. No, man, I wanted to watch the New Day and Dudley's. I fell asleep through that match. I fell asleep during the Dean Ambrose match. I'm just like, it drags so much. Things I wanted to, but I just couldn't keep up. And my eyes just like, just were upon me. I'm just like, ugh. When I wake up hearing Sasha Banks, I'm like, oh, my girl. So I was like, oh, my girl's coming out. So I wake up and I see her being with Charlotte in like a minute match. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And then I went back to sleep. Then I wake up hearing Seth Rollins' theme, and then that whole thing's like, oh god, this show dragged on for me.
It was a long 3 hours, and it's not necessarily, I think, that they had nothing going on. I don't know what it is. I've said this a number of times, that 3 hours is too much. But maybe another theory we've had lately, maybe they just don't need to have so long between pay-per-views. It was kind of nice when we had that succession of having like 2 weeks between pay-per-views and special events, and they were building all that. Kind of miss them doing that now. Yeah. Everything moved really fast. It was nice. So, Aisha, we know our big matches for Night of Champions. We got Seth Rollins against John Cena for the U.S. title, Seth Rollins against Sting for the world title, and Charlotte against Nikki Bella for the Divas title. What do you think about those three matches?
For Seth Rollins and Double Duty, I'm on board with Sting winning the world title. Believe it or not, because Sting winning the WWE title is probably the mark in me, because I love Sting. But hey, would it be bad for him winning world title and it kind of be a better reign than Rollins? It probably won't be. But and with John Cena versus Seth Rollins, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
And the Divas.
But in regards to with Nikki breaking the train, it's like, I just don't like the Bellas no more. The Total Divas are enough for me. Yes, I watched Total Divas, but you know, whatever. They're gonna make her break the record. It's like, whatever. How come you won't give that honorary to Sasha? Sasha deserves more of that longest reigning Divas championship, not you.
Well, it can always be done down the line. Sasha's coming in very young, and she's got a lot of years ahead of her.
I hope, because she's she's actually the most talented one in that whole division.
Thank you.
And kind of
good.
Bust me that she's not the one that's having a title shot at Night Champion. I'm being a little bit biased here, but how can I tell Sasha's like? Come on, WWE. I love Charlotte too, but come on. Like, Sasha, like, Not one right now. Why not give her the title shot?
Just because Charlotte's got the first title shot doesn't mean she's going to win it. So that'll be remain to be seen at Night of Champions. I think Sasha's got a bright future ahead of her. I wouldn't worry too much for her. But Aisha, I know this is going to be a tough one. Your high point and your low point for tonight's show of Raw.
I say high point Shane Sting because I love Shane Sting because he's awesome. And he put a hot little fire in that opening promo. I'm like, okay, all right, getting my stuff from that number. I'm like, yes. Low point, having 3 hours of making me fall asleep. Bad WWE. Why did you do that to me? Why?
Well, hopefully things will be exciting going forward. We shall see as we continue the road to Night of Champions, though. But Aisha, always good to talk to you. You have a good night. We'll catch you on another week.
You have a good night, guys.
All right. Continuing the conversation here, fellas. We already talked about the main two stories for the two men's belts and the main story for the women's belt. We had another story that involved both men and women that they ran successively throughout the night. And it's the continuing tensions of Dolph Ziggler, Rusev, Lana, and Summer Rae, and whatever crazy love stories going on between all these guys. First off, we were told we had a SummerSlam rematch between Dolph Ziggler and Rusev, which was already enough to make me tune out because they had that terrible match at SummerSlam with that awful finish. I knew we were going to have another match, but I didn't want to see it. They had it tonight on Raw. They actually teased doing another double countout again. And boy, was I just so enthralled. So wondering if it was going to happen again. This match ends when Dolph Ziggler is able to hit the zigzag and goes for the pin. But Summer Rae runs in and pulls Dolph Ziggler by the hair, which prompts a catfight to develop between Lana and Summer Rae. Ziggler gets the victory via DQ. But when he goes into the back, we see Ziggler interviewed by Renee saying, basically, this ain't over. We're going to fight again. Didn't he actually say he said specifically it was over. He didn't want to fight him again. Yeah. I missed a word there. But as he goes back to his locker room, Summer Rae sneaks in slowly in the background as Renee Young is continuing to build up the other stories for the night. Later, as she's interviewing Ryback, we see Summer Rae running out again, and Dolph Ziggler runs out with a towel, and we almost get a wardrobe malfunction, which would have just been awful. and they're just continuing another three or four segments where they're going back to interviews with Summer Rae and Dolph Ziggler and Lana. No one gave a shit about Rusev, though. No one asked him how he was feeling through all this. Bet you he was really sitting somewhere depressed, growing a beard.
Composed, sad.
I was sitting somewhere depressed.
No.
Jesus Christ, this segment was bad. This match was bad. It was all bad.
I mean, I know this is supposed to be a male soap opera, but my God, this is so fucking stupid.
It really is. And you know what is even worse about it? I mean, there are so many things that we can go to when it comes to that, like the fact that it's been dragging on for months, or the fact that they've, for some reason, seem to think that every week they can do this goddamn cat fight and act like it's never happened before. But when you do something like at the beginning of the show, relatively late to begin, what was it, like 8:45 or something like that, when they did this whole Summer Rae goes into the locker room thing, it took her, what, like 20 minutes for her to come out with the towel?
Well, I figure Dolph Ziggler's got all those zippers he's got to undo. It's got to take at least like 10 minutes.
That's just like, oh man, like I hated this so much. And, you know, then you got to do the typical thing with Lana where it's like, so Lana, what do you think about this obvious fucking fake story? I don't want to talk about it. Good.
That's so sad.
Good. Let's never talk about it again. And let's just move the fuck on.
There's a problem when the payoff for the match is the fact that the feud ends.
Oh, hey, Silent Wind of Doom pitching something interesting here. He's saying it's a way to get a babyface Rusev and Lana together without making Ziggler look like a total jerk.
How so?
I don't see it.
Well, because Lana's getting cheated on. So is Rusev, for that matter. So they gain sympathy, and then you put them together to take down the two cheaters.
And how does that make Ziggler not look like a jerk?
Well, he's a ladies' man, so you kind of expect that shit.
No, he still comes off like a jerk.
Yeah, he comes off like, you know, well, she's hot too, so I'd fuck her.
Yeah, isn't that like Dolph Ziggler's character?
I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I always kind of thought he was just kind of like, you know, the total douchebag bro guy. goes around to parties.
I'm here to fuck your bird. I'm here yeah. to fuck your bird.
He especially likes them if, you know, they're passed out drunk. That's Dolph Ziggler.
Fuck. I hope not.
WWE's Bill Cosby.
Okay, he's going to start changing his outfit to be those fucking sweaters.
Looks better than what he's wearing now.
Fuck me, that's true.
I like those pants on him. I hate that works.
No, can we get one for Seth in case he comes out in that white shit again?
Well, we're going to get into fashion advice here. Okay.
That's better than the fucking storylines on TV.
That's the absolute best case scenario. And I wouldn't mind a babyface couple like that. But anything else, I cannot think of a single positive note for this. This is one of the most drab and unappealing things they've ever put on, I think. All this love, quadruple, triangle shit. I hate couples in wrestling. They never make something. I think the only couple I truly liked in wrestling was Edge and Lita.
And Triple H.
And Elizabeth.
Oh, Triple H and Stephanie. Okay, Savage and okay. So there's a few, but for the most part, they have been fucking atrocious. Especially Dolph Ziggler's. Dolph Ziggler's have Ziggler's all been bad. Terrible.
You know, I think the only person that has a worse track record than Ziggler when it comes to these things is Santino.
Yeah. Oh, you know who else was a good duo? Vicky Guerrero and Edge.
You know, yeah, they were when Vicky was in the wheelchair and stuff.
Mm-hmm, and Edge had that fucking meltdown. It was great.
Wazili saying the weirdest part about this is that Rusev and Lana are together in real life. And you know, that worries me because there's a lot of times where in wrestling, reality starts mimicking art. That we saw that happen with Edge and Lita. Edge and Lita. More should say, though, Lita and Matt Hardy.
Well,
Miss Elizabeth and Savage as well.
Personally, I think the best case scenario is that Lana turns on Dolph Ziggler like I wanted it to happen in the first place. I think she's better as a heel. I don't like baby-faced Lana, so that's where I'm hoping it goes, but fuck, who am I?
I like Ziggler playing around with the idea, though. He's been tweeting out those pictures where like Lana's kissing him on the cheek and kissing him normally and stuff like that. And apparently earlier today, somebody tweeted at him and said, wait, like, isn't she dating Rusev? I thought that that's like who she was really dating. And he was like, yeah, he thought so, too. It's like, I love douchebag Ziggler. Like, the best case scenario for this is not Lana turns on him and becomes heel, is not like babyface Rusev and stuff. It's Ziggler goes, holy fuck, Summer, you're nuts. Lana, you're pissed at me for something I didn't even do. You're all fucking crazy. I'm going by on my own.
I'm going to the club. Peace, y'all. Yeah. Call up my bro Zack Ryder and we're out of here because he's not doing anything tonight.
Plot twist. He goes off with Rusev.
Yeah, Dolph and Tong Po just take off to Vegas.
And then somebody tweets at him, wait a minute, I thought that Rusev was dating Lana. That's what she felt.
Oh my god, dude. No, Dolph Ziggler and Rusev take off to Vegas. Why isn't this a WWE Films project?
Oh, fuck. If they introduced a gay relationship, though, you know Darren Young could jump up.
Oh, no. I'm not saying anything about them being gay. I'm talking about two bros taking off to Vegas and, like, you know, spending lots of cash, buying lots of hookers, and having a good time.
Well, see, they couldn't do something like that with Darren Young because, remember, Darren Young's character is not gay.
You know what, though? Even if they did something like that in a non-gay sense, Darren Young would still complain just because he likes bitching.
Yeah, if he did in Orlando, Jordan definitely would.
Somehow Paige would still complain, too.
Fucking miserable bitches.
Yeah, see, Caitlin Ferris gets it. Not gay, just the bros before hoes getaway.
Bros before hoes and tongue pose.
Nice. It's not with a doom saying douchebag Ziggler is the best character since the Undertaker and Fat John Stewart. We've really been racking these up lately, haven't we?
Yeah, we've got a nice little roster of people to join. Yeah.
Douchebag Ziggler and like mischievous Daniel Bryan.
What was the Jeff Jarrett one? I didn't write that one down.
Jeff Jarrett? Oh, I forget.
Yeah, what was it? It was like
was it like super self-indulgent Jeff Jarrett? Because that's probably what it would be. I think it was something about like how he just thought he was automatically booked on every show he ever goes to. So like he just appears at like some TNA wrestling show. He's like, yeah, I'm wrestling tonight, right? Yeah, okay. King of the Mountain, let's go.
Oh, that's what it was. Something about, like, his dad gave him the King of the Mountain. like entitled Jeff Jarrett or something.
Entitled Jeff
Jarrett. So you mean it's just Jeff Jarrett?
Yeah, basically. That's not even a character we made up. That's actually what Jeff Jarrett is. All right, well, let's...
And I'm going to be so disappointed if they don't go this route with Ziggler and Rusev now.
What, they go to Vegas?
We just sat here, yeah. Like, about the last 10 minutes and just came up with so many better options than this feud.
Well, we did the same thing for the Divas that they did tonight, so...
Oh, shit, that was an art.
We're just booking... Yeah, we're booking a better Raw tonight than they did. another story that I'm just completely burnt out on and I wish would just fuck off and die... is the triple threat story they're doing for the Intercontinental title. We had...
Jesus.
Actually, I got to give props. Before the match, they did a little bit of a promo with Ryback where he just talks about how all these things came up with him as adversity, but none of them could keep the big man down. This was before they had Summer Rae storming out and the whole thing with Dolph Ziggler in the towel. Ryback's little promo here I actually thought was really good. So props to him. He has just improved leaps and bounds in a number of ways, his promos being one of them. You guys agree?
Definitely, definitely agree. Ryback is a hell of a promo now, and honestly, he's the best part of this feud. Mm-hmm. I think I wish he'd move on to someone else already, but I think there's something to be said for just having him go through everyone for a long period of time. I think this guy's got main event potential. I know they blew that chance on him once already. But if they don't have anyone lined up that they want to sacrifice, sure, kill Miz and the Big Show off a little while longer. But I'd rather it not be. I'd rather them cut it off at this next pay per view. It's getting a bit excessive.
I would hope it would have been done by now if it wasn't for the fact that Ryback had that injury. But Tony, you're about to pick up something.
I was going to say the same thing. I don't even want to see this happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it was problematic because of the injury, but. Even before that, it was problematic because they tried to stall it. I think it was, Battleground or something like that that we had where... it was Battleground. What was the one that was before that, Money in the Bank? They did a match, and it ended with, Miz interfering or something like that. And it was just like, all right, you built this up for a couple weeks on Raw and then didn't do the match on a pay-per-view, build it up a couple more weeks, and then there was an injury. Now you build it up a couple more weeks, and it's SummerSlam. Now you're going to do it again for a couple more weeks? I'm done with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's plenty of other people for Ryback to face. They could have had something with Kevin Owens, could have had a face match with Cesaro, who's, doing some good stuff now. You got people that are just sitting off on the sidelines doing nothing. You know?
It's a shame because this feud had a lot of promise. And I think I can pinpoint where it all went downhill. Hmm. Right before the night, it was the week before, sorry, the final go-home show to Raw before the triple threat match was originally scheduled. Ryback lays out the Big Show with Shell Shock.
Yeah, that killed a lot of the mystique of what we were seeing going into it.
So not only did you kill that off, there's no buzz about him doing it again because of the injury. After that, it just snowballed into nothingness. Like, it just was one big clusterfuck.
And for that matter, Miz interfering tonight, what was his motivation for that? Why does he care, what's going on between Ryback and Big Show?
He's an asshole.
I mean, you saw what he was wearing tonight.
Yeah, what was up with that? Did he, did his, whatever the hell you would call that, it's not like a jacket or whatever, but... Was that covering,
his neck?
Half of his mouth or something? Or was it a chin guard? Or
it was like he had a, I don't know, some kind of Sith hood or something. Like, it was weird.
And it's like he takes some kind of an outfit and he goes, how can I fuck this up? And that's, what he's been wearing the past couple of months.
I tell you, he's not asking Maurice if this looks good before he walks out the door.
Oh, God, what if this is some of her clothing line?
Honey, it looks great. I'll wear it to Raw tonight.
I bet that's how he tests if he'll get heat or not. He picks out shit that his wife fucking hates, and he's like, awesome.
No, he probably picks out the stuff that she likes.
Yeah, I can see that more so. She's like, no, this looks fantastic, and he's like, they're gonna fucking hate it.
Yeah, that's probably more probable.
Have you ever heard of Adrian Street? Wago, you might have heard of him.
No.
Is that who they gave Neville's name to?
Yeah. So Adrian Street, he was basically one of the first guys to do the flamboyant gimmick, and he started it over in England because, you know, over in England, the wrestling is like a bit more serious. Like, it's a little bit more like of a generic fight between two guys with names. They don't generally attach like a lot of like silly gimmicks and stuff, or at least especially back in the day, that's more what it was like. And so this guy, Adrian Street, looked at American wrestling and saw like the Gorgeous Georges and those types who started wearing all these fancy robes and stuff. He's like that and you know, dyeing their hair blonde. And he's like, oh, this is great. I'm going to take this over to England and I'm going to be a big deal because I'm going to be the only guy doing all this. So he invests all this money in getting himself these nice robes and bleaching his hair and making himself look all fancy like that. And then he comes out and then everyone just starts like laughing at him because like, oh, look at this pretty boy. How you doing, pretty boy? And like it just completely backfired on him.
If I were him, I'd be like, oh, I think I'm pretty.
Well, he did eventually turn it around, and he ended up making sort of like a precursor to Goldust, where he played on those gay tendencies to make it into a really great heel character. So it's like he fizzled out because of this. He ended up making it into his favor, but just funny how that all worked out with that.
Do you know what his finisher was by any chance?
Why? What do you think it should be?
I'm just thinking that there's got to be some kind of great stuff when it comes to Street.
Oh, like the street sweeper or something,
like Queer Downing Street, street or Easy Street, or I don't even know, fucking
Bad Street,
the street sweeper. Like it's got to be a lot of shit.
Yeah, Mark Swabby saying used to love watching our old wrestling with Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks. Again, I think we mentioned this before. How like back in the old days of English wrestling, they used to love the big fatties. I don't know what's with you guys. Christ, John Tenta didn't have a big career in England. What were we talking about? How did we get on this? I forgot. We were talking about Miz's awful outfit.
Yeah, that's right.
I was trying to go, we're talking about fatties. Are we talking about Kevin Owens?
Yeah, Miz's outfit was awful, as is the storyline. Hopefully, we're not going past Night of Champions with this. And hopefully Ryback retains, because, you know, I don't hate Big Show, and I don't hate Miz, but I really like Ryback right now. And I would like to see him shake it up with some other opponents besides these guys throughout his run. You mentioned Kevin Owens. We did have a Kevin Owens match against Cesaro. Another SummerSlam rematch, as if we didn't have enough. This was a pretty fun match, actually. One of my favorite parts in this was when Kevin Owens goes for a tornado DDT off the top rope, and Cesaro basically just like stops him mid-motion and then slams him down into this crossface. Really good series of moves. Standard affair with these guys. A great match. You shouldn't expect anything else. It ends with Kevin Owens getting the pop-up powerbomb for the victory. So I guess that makes Kevin Owens the decisive victor in this story, since that's two pins in a row, right?
Isn't it kind of weird that when you have all these rematches from SummerSlam, one of the appeals for Kevin Owens versus Cesaro is that they get advertised, this one ends. And that's it. Like, there was no real ending to the Big Show match. There was no real ending with the whole Ziggler thing. It's like, hey, Kevin Owens versus Cesaro. Yeah, that one's going to be good. And it's not going to have some kind of a stupid ass ending to it. Awesome. This is what I like to see. Owens and Cesaro have good chemistry together. It was a fun match, and I don't have anything bad to say about it.
It's just a fair statement.
Probably not.
Yeah,
I just those two to have better.
You completely cut out, Wigg. You want to repeat that?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't even a statement, let alone a fair one.
Those two guys, you'd expect to have better chemistry. Like, they don't have, like, they
why?
Have bad matches.
Why? Because they're both,
matches.
Like, Ring of Honor guys?
But you look at the match quality they've had with other guys, and it's been so much above the work that they've put out together, and their work hasn't been bad by any means. I don't know why, I just expected a lot more from them.
I mean, sometimes people's styles just clash. Like, was it Daniel Bryan and... was it Shelton Benjamin or someone like that had a match, and it was just fucking atrocious when, like, he first came around? Couldn't have been Shelton Benjamin. Shelton was gone by then. But it was someone else that was one of the ring veterans. Maybe it was Dolph Ziggler.
Punk, maybe?
Ziggler's had a lot of good matches with him, though, so I'm not sure if it was him.
Maybe it was Punk. I don't remember. But I remember there was just someone that everyone was like, oh, this match is going to be great. And then it happened, and it was total shit. And then
could have been Morrison.
Oh, that's probably who it was, Morrison. And then out of all people, Daniel Bryan goes and has great chemistry with Sheamus. So it's just weird. You know, some people just gel differently with others.
The match was solid tonight. I enjoyed it, and it was just nice to see some quality wrestling.
Silent with the Doom saying, why did they have to job Cesaro out? Owens had to win the other one. He didn't need to win tonight. Again, I think it's just finality. I think they're going to move on to something else for both of these guys.
I think it's because they need to rebuild Kevin Owens. He's taken a huge fall. He's lost to NXT guys. He's lost to John Cena. And to be quite honest, Cesaro is expendable at this point.
He is just kind of like on hold until Tyson Kidd comes back. So I'm pretty sure they're just going to put those guys back together.
I don't know if they're actually going to do that or not.
You don't think so?
I think it kind of depends on how good of a recovery Tyson Kidd has.
You don't think they're going to give him a big hero's welcome when he comes back? Probably throw the titles on them right away?
No, I don't think that they would trust it. I think that they'll probably have him come back and be like, oh, this is so great that he's here. I don't think that title's coming back to him, though.
Hmm.
I think that Cesaro's sticking around the mid-card.
You think they're going to stay separate?
Mm-hmm.
What does Tyson Kidd do then? He's just going to stay around the mid-card too?
I'd like to see them two get a program together. Maybe even give Tyson Cesaro a heel turn and Tyson Kidd a babyface push.
Hmm.
Maybe keep him in like the lower mid-card, test him out for a little bit, kind of. Or hell, maybe put him on NXT.
Kidd?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he did good down there before. But I also kind of thought like him doing good down there earned him his main event roster spot back.
Ditto. Yeah. Same with Cesaro. I think they've essentially helped establish that brand. And now they deserve to be on the main roster.
If I could have it work out in any way, I mean, you know, his injury works out fine, all that other kind of stuff. I would love to see Tyson Kidd be in the solid mid-card range on the main roster. But I think that they're going to try to take it a little easy because with the Daniel Bryan situation and all the other people that have been injured, I don't think that they're going to be willing to test it around too much.
And you know what Cesaro has to do in the main roster as well? Is he has to have his main roster Sami Zayn feud.
Mm-hmm.
Can't forget.
I wouldn't mind seeing that match again, or three or four times. there is the scenario that Tyson Kidd never comes back again, though.
That's true.
And it was a pretty severe fucking injury. Most guys don't come back from that. Most people get a case of the deads.
they actually follow Drew's theory about breaking your neck and die.
Yeah, it's actually a legitimate thing, so... good old steroids, saving America. Wait, he's Canadian.
Joe's gonna kill you, unless you're Tyson Kidd.
I thought you were gonna follow it up with, for real.
Maybe you'll return and wrestle Rey Mysterio.
I don't get it. All right, well, we had the new Wyatt family member Braun Strowman debut last week, and tonight we got to see his actual in-ring debut against Dean Ambrose, who doesn't come down to the ring alone because, of course, Braun Strowman has the Wyatt family with him, so Dean Ambrose calls out Roman Reigns. I mean, Braun Strowman can throw. It's about all he was really able to do this match. He threw and he chopped a little bit.
He punched.
He did a few punches. Some weird
internationals.
Weird looks with his face. Eventually he shoves Roman Reigns, and that pisses off Roman Reigns enough to interfere for the disqualification. But Braun Strowman easily lays both of them out with his bear hug choke thing that he does. And that's our debut. I mean, the guy looked like a beast. You know, they protected him and they made him look strong. They did exactly what they had to do. I'm not so sure about this guy's abilities anymore. I was impressed seeing him last week based on his size, and I thought he looked like a good fit for them. But now that we saw him in the ring, I'm not quite getting a case of the Collies or the Jackson Andrews, but it's not too far.
I'm a little more positive on this Stroganoff guy. he can move around. He doesn't need to do much other than throw people. He looked like a beast. And the first thing that I thought after all this is, if you build him up just for pay-per-view after pay-per-view, let him do this to everybody, it'd be so cool to see Brock Lesnar versus him and Brock just kick the shit out of him.
Yes.
Like, for a Royal Rumble match, be fucking great. Hell, as a Royal Rumble moment, him and Brock Lesnar one-on-one in the ring.
If they actually put Lesnar in the Rumble, which they should do that.
He should have a Rumble match.
That's another topic I won't get into, though. For Braun Strowman, he's not the drizzling shits. You know, I just don't remember seeing this guy on NXT at all. And they shouldn't put everyone on NXT. I think it actually was kind of cool that we had someone debut that we were like, well, who the fuck is this? Because we're so used to people coming up. And it's like, oh, yeah, I have all these memories of seeing this person do this in NXT. I was kind of worried we weren't going to get those special surprise debuts anymore. So it was nice to have that. But woof. I hope he can improve. And he may. You know, and he's got a good hand next to him with Luke Harper.
I say keep him off the microphone.
Oh, absolutely.
Here's the thing. Bray Wyatt is a very good promo when he's on, so let Bray take that manager role. Because we always talked about Bray Wyatt's skills in the ring not being up to par to his microphone skills. So him playing a manager role again, much like he did for Eric Rowan and Luke Harper during his injury, I'm perfectly fine for that.
Yeah, I wasn't too against Strowman Reigns' promo here. I thought it was all right. He had a decent enough thing. He only had a couple lines, and it was just basically like, yo, fuck you up. It was like, all right, I buy it. And I mean, in the ring, yeah, he's not that great. You know, you can tell he's really fucking fresh. This guy's not like some 10-year seasoned ROH veteran type of guy or something like that, but. Yeah, you know, he's fine. Like you said before, like you're comparing him to like Kali and stuff. Kali, I mean, he was there for what, like 8 years, and he still couldn't chop.
Well, I mean, he got worse as time went on.
Yeah, and this guy, at least, he seems to kind of get like some of the machinations of everything. There's some stuff that's like really off a little bit. Like there was a part where he was fighting Reigns, and he was waiting for Reigns to start hitting him, so he just like. Reigns wasn't up yet, and he's like, oh, shit, what do I do? Because I can't just hit him. So let me just look to the left for a second, and then I'll look back to the right, then he'll be ready to hit me. And, you know, when you can point at that kind of stuff, of course, it seems kind of bad. But at the same time, like, he's got a way to go. I mean, I'm not sold on him being, like, the next big thing, but Strong Bad's okay.
I like Silent Wind of Doom's one name for him. Wreck Chub Fist is my favorite.
Well, I'm going to go through these. Of course, this means it's time for everybody's favorite game. Come up with the alternate names for Braun Strowman. The chat I was watching during Raw came up with these gems. Barge Strollban, Brick Hammerbottom, Brie Modeman, Wreck Chub Fister, Beard Strawman, Babyface Sheet Mask, White Big E, Brawny Towel Man, and Abs McBiceps Senior.
Does that imply that there's an Abs McBiceps Junior?
I guess it does.
Who would that be?
Jester.
Oh, good.
All right, well, I'm going to keep an eye on him. I'm not completely turned off from him yet. I just always... Maybe I'm just... negative because of all the times we've seen these big bulky guys who could barely move come in here, and you know they really push them hard for like 6 months, and eventually they realize, yeah, okay, he's nothing, and let them go.
Let's see if what's 6 months from now, is that WrestleMania?
Sure.
Kind of. If we see Strowman Shield against John Cena, then we'll know he's fucked.
Yeah, I was about to make the he'll have an opponent he'll lose to. And his name is John Cena.
Oh, goodness. Well, we come to what was probably the most fun segment of the night, fellas. The return of the Dudley Boys to the ring. They made their surprise last week, returning, shocking the world. I don't think anybody... I don't remember seeing any reports about that. I don't remember anybody even expecting it. So, Dudley Boys back in WWE. And their first opponents, they got their eyes set right on the tag team champions, The New Day. They actually had a really good promo backstage with Renee where they talked about the whole reason they're doing this is because they're 9-time champions. But they want to be 10-time champions because it's, you know, it's the magic number. It's a nicer number than 9. So
yeah, they gotta watch out. John Stewart might come and fuck him up.
No, do that. Oh, shit, fucking Dudleys want to be 10-time champions. God, wipe these pork rinds off. Get to work. God, fucking damn it. Dudley Boys against the New Day with the primetime players on commentary, which was the worst part of this match. Before they even started the match, also New Day comes out. talking about how they have to save the tables because the table poachers, the Dudley Boys, have come back around and they only have one table left and they have to be precious with it. So they like wrapped it in bubble wrap. Very, very funny stuff. Xavier Woods doing his best impression of Cat Williams with whatever the fuck was going on with his hair tonight. It was all fun games till the Dudley Boys came out. Then it was a lot of punching in the face, and they weren't able to get him in the table tonight. It seems like we're going to have to wait a little while to see that happen again. But overall, fun to see the Dudley Boys back. New Day doing their damn thing. There's something very Attitude Era about this whole story here. And it's not just because, you know, it's the Dudley Boys, but even the New Day just reminds me of something out of the Attitude Era.
This was very much over the top, and that's exactly what I was thinking. It felt like an Attitude Era theme, and I think with the tag division, that's not a bad thing. Mm. There was a lot of fun going on during the Attitude Era. I love the fact that we're finally getting tables back again. It's been so long since it's... I mean, back in the Attitude Era, you'd probably see one break each week, easily.
But even if we do see tables now, it's always the announcer's table, which honestly is just not as satisfying seeing somebody.
Yeah, you just get that awkward ka-chunk instead of that explosion.
And like the shards fly everywhere. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything more satisfying in wrestling than someone going through one of those wooden tables.
Yeah, I got something that's epic. So much better. What's that? When they go through two stacked up on top of each other.
Oh, yeah.
Because then it's just like, put-dum, put-dum.
But yeah, this feud is a lot of fun. And part of me wanted to bitch about them giving away the tag match early again. But honestly, I don't think there's any heel tag teams for them to wrestle, so they have to.
I mean, yeah, you could have threw them out there with like Los Matadores and throw them through a table or something like that, but let's just cut to the chase. Let's see what they get. Because you never know, and I don't know if this was the point you were going to make, Tony, you never know what two of them they're going to face for the titles when it comes around.
I was going to say, I think it's going to be a triple threat.
You think they're going to put in another team with probably PTP?
Yeah, because they made a specific point after this. They were just like, all right, well, it looks like they've got a match. They've got a win over the tag team champions. Primetime Players still have a rematch. And Dudley Boys, they could get a chance too, but the Primetime Players do. Like, you know, they really like were just like, don't forget about those guys because they're very forgettable right now. So, this was amazing. How do you not love the fucking New Day? They come out and they cut this promo about, oh, it reminds me of the creepy uncle that stares at your girlfriend at Thanksgiving.
You mean Uncle Big E?
Uncle Big E, of course, is the one that says it. I was like, this is fantastic. When he started saying your creepy uncle, I'm like, please say at the barbecue with the fucking Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, you know what I love tonight? The fact that the fans chanted along with save the tables.
And then he goes nuts over the timetable and stuff like that. Like, New Day is so fucking great. And even like the backstage things that aren't even on TV. Like, did you guys see the thing that we posted it in the Mega Maniacs? I think it was Leslie posted it. Of Sasha Banks and Big E, and they're on like a Segway or something, and they're just going, Booty! Oh my god, they're the most fucking entertaining thing in the company right now. It's ridiculous because they're so, so dumb.
And you know what's funny? Like, remember when they were first starting to put them together and everyone thought it was going to be some kind of like takeoff of the Nation of Domination?
Mm-hmm.
Man, was that off. This is nothing like the Nation of Domination.
The issue with that is they wouldn't have been able to push the gimmick to the limits it needed to be pushed to.
No, so. Not at all. Which is a shame because you totally could these days. You could really do a lot with racial tensions these days if you had the balls to do it.
Yeah, if they had the balls, they can make that go really fucking crazy. Like, if you look back to what they did with even the Canadian shit back in 97, that was like, you know, fuck America. No, fuck Canada and all this. And if you wanted to now, you could have them go to Ferguson and cut a promo. You could have them have, holy shit, if the fucking Big Boss Man was still around. Like, they could do crazy shit, and they never will.
I mean, we saw what just happened to Zara Shrive today.
Yeah, Zebra something or other. Yeah.
Yeah, Zebra McKinley.
She did have stripes on her, so.
Yeah.
So Silent One of Doom in the chat room here is saying, so here's what I'm hoping with every bit of my heart, that the Dudleys take that specific table to next Raw and every single Raw until they put a New Day member through it. Because they did say it was the final table. So, I mean, does that mean tables are extinct after they do that?
It's the final.
Well, they're poaching them. That's why there's not many tables left. They haven't had a chance to breed.
Wouldn't that be terrible if they put New Day through it and then that's the last wooden table spot we ever see in wrestling?
Maybe, like, they bought them on the cheap. And they just, like, opened up their props truck today and was like, oh, fuck, one table. I got a great idea for a story.
Where's the Dudley Boys? We need them for this.
And then Big Show walks by and accidentally steps on it.
And,
fucks
it all. And he makes that same face like, oh, shit, I just killed the last table.
Wouldn't it be great if this was, like, the fucking one of those tables that just don't break?
But like the table equivalent of those birthday candles that don't go out.
Yeah, if it was just one of those tables where it just bends awkwardly and falls over every time they try a table spot, that'd be great.
Quick, call out Randy Orton so you can jump up on it and give it a bunch of RKOs. Maybe that'll work.
It'll wear it down a little.
Well, that was all fun, guys. I'm glad we got at least one segment where we got to have some fun banter and laughs about what actually happened rather than what should have happened.
Wait, before we move on, now I'm curious. If that is the last table, then does the pay-per-view just become LC?
Well, no, it becomes LC and stairs.
Oh, yeah, LC and S. It's like, welcome to WWE, ladders, chairs, and stairs.
That's just like a terrible pay-per-view.
It's going to be a dark day in hardcore wrestling.
Oh, Paul Heyman's going to fucking shit his pants. He's going to send Brock Lesnar on a rampage on everybody. Starting with the Dudleys, because they killed the last table.
They're going to have to start having the Spanish announcers bench.
Oh, it would be so bad if they give the American commentators a table still.
Boy, all right, guys. So let's start wrapping up with our final bits that we have here. My favorite commercial that I got to see throughout the show tonight. Funny enough, this isn't the first time I'm giving it to an anti-smoking commercial. I'm giving it to Truth, who had this new commercial campaign where they have all these meme characters popping in, talking about how even just social smoking, it's a trap. That was fun. They had like the stalker ex-girlfriend and she's gotten really cute.
She really is.
The walrus thing was there. I can never remember his name. Like Jordan something Decru, like the one that like takes all the old English ways of saying things. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you knew like the actual name for it. If anyone was going to correct me,
I don't know the name. But the other one's the seal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did I say walrus?
Socially awkward seal.
I said walrus.
Talking about Jeff Jarrett again?
They really should have had Foul Bachelor Frog.
Oh, yeah, that would have been perfect. And we'll take it out to this one. My edition of Who Said It This Week. If for anyone is tuning in for the first time, you don't know how we play this. I'm going to give you a line. When I say you, the host, because they get the first dibs at this. But if they don't get it, then you, the listeners, get to try. And you tell me who said it. And my Who Said It This Week is... Woo!
Sting.
Charlotte twice.
You're both right. Yeah, indeed. Charlotte and Sting both wooing tonight. Charlotte, actually to a point where she was coming out to the ring and they had one of those little inset promos for her playing as well. And it lined up to where when she was saying woo in the inset promo, she was also saying woo in the ring.
Wooception.
You fucking cunt. Stop it. Stop saying woo. Stop it. Bad Charlotte.
She just needs to sing her theme in woos. Like, she says it that often, they might as fucking well.
Woo, 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 woo,
woo. And you see, Drew, that's how the song's meant to sound.
I still have never gone back and listened to this illustrious Drew White Ric Flair outro.
It's fucking terrible.
Oh, goodness. So, my favorite thing that I've started doing lately, we're playing a game called Tap Out. Basically, I am going to give these gentlemen a topic And they have to name an example of that topic, going back and forth until one of them can no longer name what, well, an example of what that topic is. So, this week's topic I'm going to get is because we are going into Night of Champions, which is originally a WCW-titled pay-per-view. Our tap-out this week is WCW pay-per-views. And I believe Tony is our reigning champion, so Tony, you get to go first with the easy one.
Starcade.
Will you?
Halloween Havoc.
Great American Bash.
Night of Champions.
Super Brawl.
Wild Road? Was that what it's called?
No. Yeah. Hog Wild.
Ah, fuck.
Or there also was Road Wild, but not Wild Road.
Those are Road Hogs.
All right. Well, Tony, you win again. Well, it says, I guess it's going to be easy for you to pick who's doing it this week, since Wager's the one who lost. Silent with the two.
You got to call in and do the plugs.
All right, so chat room, you listening out there, suggest a way that Wago is going to have to do the plugs in tonight. And in the meantime, we are going to move on to our last bit of business we like to take care here. The good, the bad, and the ugly, where we tell you the best part of the show, the worst part of the show, and the most must-avoid part of the show is check it out. Yes, it is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's jump right into it. Wago, you're good, bad, and ugly.
All right, so my good is pretty easy tonight. It goes to the Dudley Bullies. The entire match was fun. The segment was fun. For the bad, I have to give it to the Divas and how they were booked tonight. And last, ugly. Yikes. Fucking the Dolph Ziggler, Rusev, Lana, love thing.
Ugh. Ugh, indeed. Tony, you're good, bad, and ugly.
I actually had two goods that I couldn't quite decide between. One of them was the New Day, their opening promo. The other one was Kevin Owens and Cesaro. I thought that was the best match of the night, and you know, kudos to those guys. The bad. I'm going to group this together in a way of the commentators and WWE's production in general just trying to beat you in, over the fucking head with something. One of them, the instances with that, is what I mentioned earlier about the primetime players thing. Another one is them acting like the cat fight between Summer Rae and Lana's never happened before. They're like, oh my God, they're rolling around. When the fuck did we ever see this? I don't know. Last week, the week before that, the week before that, the week before that. Fuck. And another one, and this was just a way to start off the whole night. You started off with Sting's going to come out and cut a promo. Mm-hmm. And they go, the one title that Sting has never won is the WWE World title. So he gets on the mic and he goes, there's one title that I never won, the WWE title. And then they play his terrible music. And what does JBL say afterward? Oh, did you hear that right there? He wants to win the one title that he's never won, the WWE title. Holy fuck, I heard it twice before. Do you really need to beat it down? Like, you don't need to sandwich this shit so much. If you have that short of an attention span, then you don't need to have anybody tell you anything about wrestling because you're that dumb that you can just watch it and just be like, oh, weird shit's happening on screen. What do they call this box? I don't know. I hate that crap about WWE. And my ugly, Paige should not be able to defeat Sasha Banks in less than 2 minutes under no circumstances whatsoever.
Cannot disagree with that one there. Matter of fact, I'll just go ahead and spoil that one. My ugly is also the treatment of Sasha Banks and the whole Divas tonight. They should absolutely be ashamed. They've been pushing this whole thing the last couple months. They had Stephanie McMahon come out and cut this big promo about women taking over the sports world. And then this is what they present on Raw. Fucking horrendous. My bad, I am going to give to the Triangle feud for the IC title continuing because I'm just so tuned out and over it enough. But my good is going to be a unanimous decision. The Dudley Boys and the New Day match, everything involved. The Dudley Boys were on their game. The New Day were on their game. Primetime players could have been off playing a different game somewhere else, I would have preferred. But overall, this segment, very, very fun. Best segment of the night. With that, fellas, all you got left are the plugs. Tony, I think we had a really good suggestion here. I'm hoping this is the one you're going to pick for Wago to do.
Let's see what we have here. Is the one that I'm thinking of. It plugs in the style of JD.
Yeah. Man, it's been so long. I've actually forgot half of his mannerisms, or at least I've been trying to forget. It's a shame we don't just have a fake JD that does this type of thing.
Well, we had to ban all people from the 412 area code, so we can't do that.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so if you guys want to check out some real butt boys, and trust me, these guys are some butt boys, you can go check them out on smarkoutmoment.com, however. They have a great podcast named Smack Talk, however, but they don't have me on it because I fucking talk way too much and try and take over the show. However, I think that's bullshit, so if you want to check out my show, you can check it out on some radio station, which Payton won't let me say because he's a real butt boy, sucking the cock of Stephanie McMahon because he's got no balls. Also, check out smarkoutmoment.com. I already said smartcatmoment.com. I don't know where I'm going with this one, but check out stephenwago.com, however. He won't accept my friend request, however. And check out us on Patreon, however, like I said.
You heard the man. Check out all those places and join us live here every week on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. You know you had a good time. Find our home on sparkoutmoment.com where we have links to all the various ways you can check out us in archive form. Until next week, folks, this has been the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. For Tony Mango and for Stephen Wago, I am Mike Payton. We'll catch y'all on the flip-flop.